Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Bored With Each Other, the board gaming podcast where we review board games through the lens of playing them with two players, whether that be with a significant other, a good friend or gaming buddy, or your roommate who keeps asking you why you have a fictional city up on your wall with loads of pins and cotton on it.
Where is Pepe de Silva?
Always Sunny reference, out the gate strong. I'm Al Simpson, and as ever, I'm joined by my lovely wife, my co-host, and my player too, Hannah Kelly.
Hi, guys.
So today, we are delving into the world of puzzle games, where we are reviewing the first in the series of Micro Macro, Crime City, by designer Johannes Sick. I'm sorry if I mispronounce your name, Johannes. So it's going to be a bit more of a bite-sized one today, I think, because obviously this is not a usually sort of sprawling board game. This is very much a cooperative puzzle. And the basis of the game is it's played over a very large map that probably say three sides of A3 stuck together.
There's probably a proper paper size for that. It's A0.
Possibly. But I'd say three A3 stuck together, there or thereabouts, which is an incredibly detailed line drawing of a city with events happening all over the place. And on this map, you undertake cases, which I think within the box is 15.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, there or thereabouts. And through these cases, you basically have a series of cards, and on those cards will be clues, and you have to look through the map to find out the answers to the questions the case is posing at you. So, for example, find the corpse of the person that's been killed, find out what they did as a day job, etc., etc. The events detailed on the map are basically a sort of a series of events. They're not all happening at the same time. It's quite difficult to conceptualise, but
everything's happening all at the same time,
but also
over
not
a course of days.
Yeah, but also not.
So what that means in reality, I guess, is that you can see something happen on square A1, or a person or set of figures, and you can trace them back and their activities
throughout the day, and that's all there is to the game. You have a clue. All the cases range from sort of 5 through to sort of 15 cards, clues, context clues. You're presented with a clue. You find the answer. Once you've found the correct answer, you move on to the next clue. Repeat until you find the conclusion of the case. Who is the killer, for example? Yeah, I think that's all there is to do with the rules, basically. I don't think there's anything else to add.
So when you're playing as two players, I think this is also a solo game, probably was launched as a solo game, maybe?
I don't think they've ever really specified. It plays 1-4 on the box, but
so the idea is that you'll have a stack of cards, so maybe 8 cards. One person will read out the clue. And when you think you have the answer, only one person turns it over to reveal if that's the answer or not. That becomes really important because it's almost like a life. So say, for example, you got it wrong. Mm. The person who's checked on the back, well, they stay out of it.
Yeah.
And leaving the other person to carry on playing.
They eliminated for that clue, basically. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and if you all get illuminated? We play this with a lamp, maybe that's what I'm thinking. If you all get eliminated, that's basically game over.
Yeah, I would say that each case, the earlier cases are easier and they build up in terms of complexity. But,
yeah.
I mean, the first case probably took us maybe 10 minutes max.
Yeah.
The longest one, the last one, probably took us 20 minutes,
It says 15 to 45 minutes on the box. I don't think we've ever taken 45 minutes on a case.
No, I think I'd probably give up at that point.
I think we have approached the half-hour mark on a couple of them, I think.
Yeah, maybe that's just because it's us and we wander off and do other things.
But potentially, yeah. So it's very snappy.
Yeah.
It's one of those things that you could very much use as a filler to sort of get the juices flowing at the start of a gaming session, or you could sit down and you could rattle off several cases in one session.
Yeah, which is quite often what we do. We might spend like half an hour, 45 minutes playing this
Moving on to something else. It's worth mentioning that this is very much a one and done.
Yeah.
I mean, once you know the answers, you know the answers.
Once you've solved a murder, you're kind of solved.
I mean, unless you're a person that just likes going back and solving the same murder over and over again. So it is
serial police officers.
It's not a legacy game, but it is in any other name. Once you're done with it, you're done with it.
They do have a lot of other boxes.
They
I'm
do,
not going to
yes.
call them expansions.
No, it's a series.
Yeah. I think there are six.
I'm not sure, to be honest.
I'm not, yeah.
What is interesting about the series as such is I know they start to interact with each other later on. So once you have several boxes, I think they then do boxes that work across several of the maps.
And so you have to lay out all your maps all together.
Yeah, which I think you need a very large front room for. I don't think I don't think several of them will, you know, however many there are of them, all going to fit on a gaming table.
No.
So it's definitely used like living room floor job. But yeah. Puzzle games. This is our first foray into the genre as such. We haven't played any before this. We haven't played any of the unlock or exit games that are quite popular at the moment. We just sort of, I thought I'd take a chance on this and see what it was like.
Yeah, and I think puzzle games aren't necessarily where I would naturally go to. It's not really my strong suit. However, I think because it's really snappy and really punchy, it kind of fits quite nicely. And if you begin to get a bit brain fatigued or if you find it a bit repetitive, well, that's fine. You can
easy to just sort of pack it up and do something else. But it was an interesting introduction, I think.
Yeah, it is absolutely unlike anything I've ever played before, and I think it will definitely stand out in my memory.
Yeah, and it's made me interested in other things like it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, there's aspects of that I think we'll get into in the scoring. But is there anything else you want to add as a sort of general note before we do get on to scoring?
I mean, it's an incredibly dangerous city.
It is, yeah. I wouldn't like to live there.
No.
There's a lot of bad stuff happening all the time.
And corpses littered all over the street, and yet not a single police officer, I noticed.
Can't have nothing in Micro Macro.
Probably could do with a few more, like, Bobby's on the beat.
Yeah, I don't recall seeing a police officer. Okay, shall we get on to scoring in that?
Yeah, sure. So our first category is components. It is a map.
Yeah.
With it, you get some little grey cubes that you can use to place to pinpoint when you've uncovered...
Those didn't come with the game. We used those. They came from another game.
Oh, yeah. We used something, though.
Yeah,
didn't
we? It's a game where you'll definitely want counters or something of the like. I can't remember where we got the cubes from. Pandemic Legacy.
Mm.
It finished Pandemic Legacy. We used little infection cubes for it, but you will definitely want something to mark the map. The map is very detailed and very big.
Very small.
It's
a very big map, and the illustrations themselves are really, really tiny. It does come with a little magnifying lens that is shit.
Yeah, it doesn't work very well at all.
You might as well throw that away.
I think the later games come with actual little magnifying glasses for all the players, because there is also, it comes with one. If you're playing with multiple people, you then have to share a magnifying glass. We didn't really need to use it, but we did find that when we were playing it, we had to get sort of a spotlight lamp to shine onto it just to
partly to do with our lighting. So again, if you're playing in a room with, you know, sort of
just normal,
you know, it's not lighting. Sort of like neon strip lighting, which I imagine most people don't have in their living rooms.
Exactly, yeah.
You do need additional lamp. I think the illustrations on there, I mean, they're cute, nice, it's all, like, well done.
Yeah, I was going to get onto the artwork in a minute.
I'm getting onto it now.
Fine, talking about the artwork. I mean, it's such a massive part of it, so yeah, go on.
Yeah, what I found really interesting is there were, whilst I think sometimes when you first turn over the clue, it can take you a while to identify the character, but once you've got them, despite the fact there must be thousands or hundreds...
Yeah.
Of tiny little individual characters, they're all really easily identifiable.
Yeah, they've used it's a difficult art style to pinpoint. They've got animal qualities to them, so they've always got like bunny ears. Some look like cats with bunny ears, but some of them also just look like people. It's interesting. But most of the characters used in the cases, well, not most, all of them, you will find one distinguishing feature. So you stare at this illustration for a while, and it'll either be their ears, it'll be a scarf they're wearing. They've got a carrot for a nose, they look like a cat, they've got cornrows. You know, you'll find something within their illustration that's a distinguishing feature. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the things I find so impressive about the art style. The amount of thought that's gone into creating those individual characters with those distinguishing features to make them easily identifiable.
Yeah, and here's the other thing: it's completely language independent.
Well, no, not with the clues, it's not.
Oh, well, not with the clues, no, admittedly, but like in terms of, oh yeah, okay, I'll shut up.
Yeah, no, it's a very language dependent. No.
No, but I was thinking like you don't have a shop that says hardware shop.
Yeah, it's all symbolism.
You know.
Mm.
bit of hardware.
But that's that is an interesting point, because you've got all of these various shops within the city, and they're all quite easily identifiable because of these big picture-based signs. You haven't got to squint to try and read what's on them in terms of the actual writing. It's all like, oh, there's a big picture of a fish. Oh, it's fishmongers, you know, all that kind of thing.
It is really tiny, though, so it probably isn't for Granny to play with her specs.
Yeah.
You know, and small children probably couldn't play it either.
Yeah, that's an element of where the complexity comes in, because the map is incredibly busy. Mm-hmm. You know, there's so much going on. But again, I think it's a feat of the art style that it still manages to make all of that distinguishable. You know?
And it's all black and white, so it's just line drawing illustration. You said there's no colour on it at whatsoever. No. I think colour would just make it horrific.
Yeah, make it impossible. It's quite clean in that sense, you know, the clean lines.
Yeah.
I think when you roll the map out and you first have a look at it, I mean, if you're familiar with sort of like Where's Wally style, you know, it's that classic sort of like hunting through all these densely populated tableaus, things that are going on, and you know, finding what you need to find from that. So that's what it is at its core. But it's staggering the amount of thought and design that's gone into it. And I think every time we play, I'm reminded by the amount of work that's gone into this. Yeah. You know, you play games and there's a lot of that work can be quite hidden. You know, you don't see the hours of play testing and tweaking rules and all the rest of it that people have gone through. And this is very much in your face. And it reminds you that this medium, it reminds you of the work that designers put in this medium. And if nothing else, it's sort of a testament to that, which I quite like. It reminds me of that. It's like, you know, people put in a lot of effort to make these things that we enjoy. And I don't know if sort of one artist worked on the whole thing or was a team of people.
But it's not even the artist, it's the narrative, isn't it? It's not just the art, it's the storytelling behind that.
And it's the interaction between the art and the game, which I don't think I've ever found anything quite like, and nothing that's impressed me to that level. So just as a piece of art in the board gaming space, I think it deserves massive kudos for that. I think it deserves credit for that. We also talk about setup and teardown. Seconds, roll the map out, get a nice little case, and they've all got their own little envelopes.
Yeah.
Pop them out, you're good to go.
Yeah, all that you need to do is get a lamp.
Yes, lamp. But yeah, I mean, the only things I would mark it down on are the fairly terrible magnifying glass and the fact that you absolutely need counters, and surely just like...
Even the rules tell you need to find something, a little pack of coins or something.
Yeah, a little pack of counters would have been a nice thing to include within it. But those are minor quibbles in the grand scheme of things, and as a result, I've given it an 8.
Yeah, so I was torn between an 8 and a 9, and the reason I rated it so highly was also predominantly things that you mentioned, but also the fact that you can start linking all these individual maps together for this big old crime explosion. Mm. And I think that's... We've seen, obviously, expansions that interrelate with the core game, but I just think that's absolutely amazing.
Yeah, it is amazing.
Absolutely phenomenal. And so, therefore, somewhere between an 8 and a 9, I settled on a 9 because I was feeling generous.
Okay, fine. All right. So, our next category is complexity. And as always, this isn't how complex the game is. We don't rate really complex things highly and vice versa. This is how well the complexity serves the game.
So,
I think in this complexity, it's a puzzle game. I think with puzzle games, we should probably include difficulty in that. Is the difficulty good, or is it too hard or too easy, but, you know, is it overwhelmingly hard and frustrating, or, you know, does it flow quite well once you get the knack of it?
Yeah. So the cases, if you do them in order, they start from easy and they work up in terms of complexity. The first one, I think, is a really good way of just testing what the game is asking from you. Mm. I think particularly in the first few games, we got things wrong, not because we'd got them wrong, but because we didn't quite understand what they were asking for.
Yeah.
Either we hadn't tracked it back far enough, or we tracked it back too far.
Yeah.
And it was just understanding what point.
When you call it and say, I've got the answer, because sometimes the questions, particularly the who questions, it'll say something like, who is this person? And
Sometimes it's the man that's wearing the hat.
Yeah, sometimes the answer is it's the man that's wearing the hat. Sometimes it's the answer is it's the man that's wearing a hat, but he's the fishmonger.
Yeah.
You know, and that isn't always especially clear. And I think we've fallen foul of either going off on an absolute tangent because we're going too far and losing the thread, or not going far enough and going, oh, we've jumped at that a step too soon. Which, yeah, that does happen. In general, I think mileage would vary from person to person. I found this quite easy.
Yes.
But that doesn't mean I didn't enjoy it. I don't think it was brain-burningly taxing or anything like that.
The game itself, so the rules of the game are straightforward. I mean, I don't think even they take up one side of paper sizes.
Maybe we should stop talking about them.
Small piece of paper.
Small piece of paper.
And the questions that are being asked of you on the cards aren't particularly complex either.
No, very simple. The devil in the detail. Yeah.
What the challenge is trying to find the answer looking through the map. So in that sense, it's really, really simple, and it is a really, really simple game.
Mm.
But it is still fun.
Yeah, it is still fun. And it is complex. And there are moments where it is very difficult. I mean, there are moments where you start really
In the last one, you're following three different threads and trying to follow all those three threads and then reverse it back again to come to your natural conclusion.
Yeah.
And there is an element of inference that you have to make and a bit of deduction. It's quite obviously there when you look at it and you can see it. But you still need to find that point.
Yeah, you need to find that thread.
Yeah.
And there are moments where you can have if you've been paying attention to the story the game's been telling, you can have an aha moment and skip a little bit because you go, I reckon it's that. And you look there and you go, oh, yeah, I was right.
Or you go, I'm desperately searching for this person, but I don't know who the fuck that is, but they're going to be a problem in a later scenario. I'm going to remember
where they are. That's interesting.
And then two scenarios later, they crop up. Yeah.
I think it ramps up quite well. Mm-hmm. I think it starts off super simple. I remember after the first four, I was a bit like, oh, where's this going?
Yeah.
Like, is this going to be the same thing over and over again? And yes, it is the same thing over and over again, but they do fun things with it. And I think it's when it started to get into its stride for me is when things start splitting up. You're like, oh, actually, there's two things going on here, and you need to follow these two threads in two different directions. That's when it started to get really quite interesting.
Yeah.
We had a couple of moments of frustration, but nothing that's made me want to quit or put it away or anything like that. It's just been like, oh, I'm good.
And certainly towards the later game, scenarios, I definitely realised it was a me issue rather than something else. Whereas perhaps earlier game, I was like, am I missing something? Am I not getting it? Whereas actually having the faith in the fact that the game is simple, it is there, you just need to find it.
Yeah, you're probably overthinking things. You just need to find something you've missed.
Yeah.
So
for that reason, I scored it an 8.
Yeah, I scored an 8 as well. I think it perfectly suits, the difficulty level perfectly suits the game.
Yeah.
It doesn't become overly, you know, ridiculously complex. It doesn't become ridiculously frustrating and brain-burning where you just like, oh, I can't be bothered with this anymore. We never reached that point playing through it. So yeah, an 8.
Okay, so then shelf life. So we're talking about things like value for money and replayability. So you've already said, once you've played it, you're done with it. I mean, you can't replay it again.
This is a one and done.
It's a one and done. And so even if you played it with a different set of people, well, you still know the answer. So it is definitely a one and done. How much does it retail for?
So this retails new for about £20. But I know because it's a one and done, it tends to float around on trades and, you know, people selling second-hand copies quite a lot. And that tends to be the sort of £15 mark.
Mm. And I suppose, really, could you complete it in one evening? I think it would be a bit full on to complete in one evening.
I wouldn't want to.
Yeah, I would say two, like if you hardcored it.
If you really hardcored it, yeah.
Like two evenings, but probably.
I think you're looking at about 5 to 6 hours in total.
Yeah.
There or thereabouts. I mean, if you had to just sit down and hardcore the whole thing in one session on your own, you could probably get through in like 3 to 3.5 hours, I imagine. But why would you want to do that? I don't know.
Yeah. On that basis, I think that's a really, really nice price point.
I mean, it's cheaper than two cinema tickets.
Well, yeah, exactly. And you know,
I think as long as you understand what you're getting into, I think a board game is a funny old thing, isn't it? Because you can pay £50 for a board game and get 100 hours out of it.
Mm-hmm.
You can also pay £250 for a Kickstarter that turns out you don't really like and play it once.
Or doesn't even turn up.
You know, it's a really hard thing to quantify. It's a really hard thing to put a sort of price tag on. I think particularly when you enter the legacy space and the one and done space, because it's about what that time, what that money versus time versus entertainment ratio means to you. We picked this up secondhand. I think I paid £15 for it. I have zero regrets paying that price for it. None at all.
Yeah, no, absolutely not. And I think I would even pay 20 quid full price. I think that's absolutely reasonable.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Yeah, I'd be really happy with that. But again, now we've played it, we will be passing on
because, you know, we're done with it. But I imagine with some board gamers, there's also a beauty of actually being able to get rid of games or your connection when you're done. You're officially done with them, because most other games are like, am I done with that? I don't know if I'm done with that. I might go back to that. This one, you're done.
But that said, it is a one and done thing.
Yeah.
So I don't think I can rate it particularly highly based on that. If I include the price point and the value for money, then I'd probably pitch it at around a 5. Yeah. I think if I just talk about replayability, then it has to be...
Well, I don't think you can. I think it'd be doing a disservice to talk about replayability. I think we have to kind of NA that side of things with this, because you know what you're getting into. And if you don't, we're telling you it's one and done. There's no replayability there whatsoever.
Okay. All right, well, I'll stick with a score of 5 then.
Yep, I've gone for 6.
Yeah.
I think it's fairly good value for money.
Here's the question.
Yeah.
Would you buy the other, not expansions, what do you call them?
The other ones in the series.
Yeah.
I would. I think the only issue I have with it is space, table space. I think as soon as you get beyond the first...
Linking the maps up?
Yeah. Would I do another one in isolation? Yeah, I would. I don't think I'd pay full price new for it, but I'd pick it up secondhand.
Yeah.
I enjoyed my time with it. I think I'd need quite a break after completing this before wanting to play another one.
Yeah. I mean, we have just done the marathon session, so...
Yeah. So, you know... Yes, I would. It doesn't put me off, which is, I think, when I went for a 6. I think anything higher than that would be being a bit disingenuous, because, you know, shelf life is shelf life. If you want something highly rated in that category, this is not it.
Yep.
I don't think that's a bad thing with this game. I don't think it's a very massive negative score. We've just got to be sort of honest about where we sit with that. So, yeah, 6 and 5 sounds about right.
So our final category under our general scoring is fun.
Yes.
Did you have fun playing it?
I absolutely did. Yeah. Did I have the most fun, TM? No. I could think of more fun board games. Like, it doesn't scratch every itch for me. It was a foray into something I hadn't experienced before, which was cool. Mm-hmm. Would I still go for a more traditional board game over it? Probably, yeah.
Yeah, so I would agree with that. I had fun, I enjoyed playing it. Am I going to be an absolute hardcore devotee to the series? No, probably not. However, there are some absolute perfect scenarios and situations where this game is an absolute trump. So, for a start, it's a map and a box of cards. So, if you're going travelling away for a weekend and you want something to play while you're travelling, this is it. I mean, it takes up quite a lot of space to play. You need a big table to play it on. But if you're going if you're going to an Airbnb or a hotel for a weekend, this is an absolute game for you. If you want to have friends over for an evening, for example, or like you've got some friends staying with you, this is a really nice game that can take you through a couple of days for like evening, like...
It's classic after-dinner entertainment,
isn't it?
It's that kind of thing. It's very easy to teach. It's very easy to pull out. It's
everyone
very easy
can
to
engage
transport.
With it.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, not everyone, but, you know.
Yeah, but most people will be able to have some fun with it. And it definitely does have its moments. It's that constant dopamine hit of, aha, I've got it. Aha, I've got it. You know, I wouldn't say it makes you feel clever in the way that some puzzles can.
No, but it's satisfying.
But it's very satisfying. Yeah.
When you're like, we've got it. And also knowing you've got it. Because, again, I've always found that you know it. Once you've got it, you've got it.
Yeah, there's a confidence.
You turn the card over just to check that you've got it right.
So, I have had a lot of fun playing with it. I don't know if it will replace traditional cooperative or competitive board games as such for me, but I think it fills a different niche in this tabletop gaming space.
And funnily enough, probably on the back of this, we have got other puzzle games.
It's sparked an interest for me, and I'm going to try the Unlock series and the Exit series off the back of it just to see what they're like and play around with them. I'm not sure you'll hear our thoughts on that further down the line.
Yeah.
And I do see a universe where I will buy the next in the series at some point when I feel the itch, which I imagine I will at some point. So yeah, I've given it a 7.
I gave it a 6.
Okay, fine. Cool. Okay, so that gives us a overall general rating of 7.
Which, I think that's quite high, actually.
Yeah, I think that's good. Yeah. I think that's about right with me.
So our next set of scoring criteria are looking at that two-player factor.
Playing this as a pair.
Yeah. So our first category is table talk. So that includes things like getting to know you, the amount of active time you have at the table. And yes, we are talking a lot.
But also not. Yeah, that's not helpful to you, listener. I appreciate that.
So there's a real element of, I think, when one of you spots something, you're like, yeah, he's doing this, I'm going to track him back here, or you know, is that it, is that them, or what's he doing there? So there is that, but there is also that quiet time where you are searching.
There's a lot of people around the table staring at the map for extended periods, and that gets longer the deeper you go in, I found.
There is a degree of, I said this earlier, making inferences based on things. So, for example, that guy and that girl are there, maybe they're in a romantic tryst, and someone is, for example. But it's not like you are having to do any deduction together. It's not like you're having to road test hypotheses together.
No, it's more about, like, we've seen the situation, do you think that's it or not? Mm-hmm. And discuss.
Yeah. And obviously there is reading the cards out and those sorts of things.
Yeah, I think it's kind of middle of the roadish for me.
Mm-hmm.
I think there is a fair bit of chatter, but it's very focused chatter, and it's very punctuated by long silences.
Yeah,
that's been my experience of it anyway, or our experience of it from my perspective, should I say?
Yeah, and
there's no in-depth discussion in the cooperative board game space that you would expect. If that means anything, it's very much, you know, check, balance. Okay, let's go with that.
Yeah. But also, again, I think if you cracked this out as you were beginning to get to know somebody and were dating somebody, it's a really lovely game because there's enough structured discussion.
Yep.
And that you can feel the silence, be okay with the silences in between. So it's kind of a nice...
Lovely icebreaker.
Yeah, lovely icebreaker. Mm. There we go. Thank you very much for phrasing.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So, I mean, I've given it a 6.
Yeah, I gave it a 6.
Okay. So we are on the same page there. Cooperatability. how cooperative is it?
Well, yes. I mean, you're not actively murdering people. someone's trying to find you out. So, yes, it is definitely cooperative. And the map is very detailed and quite small. And I think earlier on, we were better at this, that we were able to sit side by side and search through the map.
Yeah.
But at some point, it became really, really difficult because as things got more complicated, you had to really focus in, and it became very difficult for the other person
to then be part of it.
Yeah. There were times when that didn't happen. So, say, for example, where you have to then track back several different characters and things like that. And where it became a real advantage, and this kind of goes on to the scalability question, it kind of all this becomes very hand in hand for me. Definitely feel like as things got more complicated, you took a lead and I just sort of
supported a little bit.
And that's largely because I was having to look upside down because I couldn't really get an in on the map because you were looking.
Yeah, fair enough. And I think there are moments where it excels, where you have to go off in different directions, so you've got to track multiple threads at the same time. That's where it starts to feel truly cooperative, because I imagine that would be quite difficult to do if you were alone. But for the most part, if somebody's sort of tracking something along and they're in the right position, again, maybe it's about setup and having just a complete clear space around the table and not letting people sit down. I don't know. It's hard.
Yeah.
But
yeah, it becomes, if you're paying for any extended period, if you're not sat down, you're bending over a table.
You're hunched over a table,
and that's not a comfortable playing experience.
But it's difficult to clearly split up effort, if that makes sense. Yep. You know, once somebody's off on a or following a tangent, you also don't want to lose that thread. So you're kind of just in your own little world and go, you know, I'm following this thread. Yeah, it works, but it also doesn't. I think a lot of that's to do with interpersonal stuff and how you play and all the rest of it. And I think you could probably police it a little bit more, make it a bit more like, you know, okay, this is my section of the map, this is yours. Perhaps you could do it that way.
Or maybe you each take a turn solving that one question.
That one clue
within the thing.
So whereas we just both just sort of went at it, didn't we?
Yeah, and whoever got the thing first and saw the picture first, that's it.
They were like alpha player and going off and doing the thing and telling somebody the answer. Yeah. So yeah, it's a tough one, and it's a difficult one to score because, you know, it's a puzzle you do together, but is it a cooperative game as such? Maybe? No? I don't know.
Yeah, I didn't really know how to score this, and therefore I gave it a 5, because I was like, it's bang in the middle.
Yeah, I also gave it a 5.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Again, I think it's really situational.
Yeah, I think it is really situational. Can you have fun doing it together? Yeah. But it's a funny one. It doesn't really fit into this criteria that neatly.
Yeah. And that leads us very neatly onto the scalability.
Okay. So, yeah, I mean, the scalability thing, again, if you haven't listened to our previous podcast, scalability is all around, A, does this play perfectly well at 2? How well does it play at 2? And do you feel you're missing something by not playing it with more? Absolutely not. I think adding more cooks to the the kitchen in this case
one person, we already found that I was not engaging in it, because I was letting you run with it. So if you add a third person in, well, that third person's going to be off like dusting the ceilings.
Yeah, I don't think this would work with 4 people around a table at all. I mean, maybe it will for some, and maybe you'd each take a quadrant of the map and stick to it. I don't know. I don't even know how that would work. I just think it would be a case of too many cooks. You'll be crowding around the same very, very small detail, trying to look in.
And also, by the way, shadows are an issue. Yeah, so again, we absolutely. Always play in the evening, and therefore there's always a shadow. And I'm like, I'll move your big fat head.
My head is fat, that's true. So yeah, it's something that I cannot recommend for more than 2, and I think it does work perfectly well as 2. It's a nice thing to do together.
So we've always talked about scalability, like, would 3 help?
Yeah.
But for me, the thing that I keep thinking about is, well, does the second player cause a barrier? And is this better as a single solo player game?
As a solo game, yeah.
The thing is, I don't think I would play board games solo. That's not my bag. No, me neither. That's not my jam.
I don't do that.
However, I can't help but think this is a solo game.
Mm.
And that we are playing as a 2-player, and it doesn't detract anything particularly, but it's still at its core a solo game.
Yeah, and it's one of those instances of...
It's the opposite of FOMO.
Yeah, it's almost the reverse of where we usually score this down, because usually when a game scores quite lowly on this, it's because it desperately cries out for more people. We've never had an instance of, like, is 2 too much?
Yeah.
You know? I think what it goes back to for me is it a fun experience for 2 people?
Yeah.
It is, yeah. Is it the best 2-play experience you can have? No.
No. And do I think that it would actually be a bit better as 1 if that was my jam?
Yeah, my inclined, yeah.
Probably, yes.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, so it's a really hard one to score as a result.
Yeah.
Because the core concept of this criteria that we've always used is, does it play better with more? That's always been the underlying thing around this. And in that case, it scores 10. But I can't give it 10 because I don't think it is the perfect 2-play experience.
Yeah.
So I am going to give it a 6.
So I gave it a 5 because, again, I didn't know how to rate it. Mm. And so I put it bang in the middle because I was like, I think it plays fine as 2-player. I do think it'd be slightly better as a 1-player. But also, again, it's not the best 2-player game that we've ever played.
No, but I don't think it ever was going to be that, you know. No.
But again, certain situations.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so that gives us a Board With Each Other 2-player rating of 5.5. As always, we round, so a 6.
Yeah, I think that's probably higher than I would have placed it.
Yeah, fair enough. I mean, 5.5, we're rounding up, aren't we? So, yeah. Okay, fair enough. I think it's kind of sad because I think we're approaching it through the criteria that we've always applied to board gaming, and I don't know if those criteria really
fit this game. Yeah,
I don't know if they really fit this genre of games. And maybe we need to think about whether we actually do review them as we do.
Yeah, but also, again, it's not really about scoring,
it's
is
the discussion,
it? It's,
isn't
it's
it?
Not the, it's not the point, really. It's about the discussion, again. Like,
because you know, I've liked it a lot more than the score suggests.
Yeah.
I think that's the issue I have.
Well, interestingly, I've liked it a lot less than the scores
suggest. Okay, fair enough.
I think that's maybe my issue with it.
Mm.
I definitely think it's unique. I definitely think it will stand out in my memory. And I think there are perfect. There are situations this would be absolutely perfect for.
Yeah.
Do I think this is a game for you and me? No.
Yeah, okay. So on that note, thank you very much for joining us. As promised, it's been a slightly shorter podcast today. We have all of our social medias up as per usual. And if you do give us a listen on your podcast medium of choice, a review would be very much appreciated. We are definitely small fry, but your reviews mean an awful lot to us. But until next time, have fun, be good to each other, and play lots of board games.